chapter 3. And he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue again, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And they, I think that would be, you know, the Pharisees, they watched him to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. So as usual, the Pharisees are following him around, waiting to pounce on him for any little thing that they could. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Stand up." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill?" But they remained quiet. And when he had looked all around at them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Again, these Pharisees stood right there and watched a supernatural act. This man, I don't know exactly to what extent his hand was malformed. It just says withered, so it obviously looked bad. And Jesus supernaturally just said, "Be healed." And it was supernaturally healed. The Pharisees can't deny these miracles, and yet they still refuse to believe. But Jesus withdrew to the sea, I think that's the Sea of Galilee, with his disciples. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan, and those around Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came to him. So, as usual, Jesus is very popular at this point. Some of them probably truly want to know what Jesus is teaching and preaching about the coming church, but also because he can heal. And he spoke to his disciples to have a small ship ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. Guys, have a boat ready in case this crowd gets out of control. Then we can hop onto the boat and get away. For he had healed many to such an extent that as many as had plagues pressed on him to touch him. And when unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried, "You are the Son of God." So remember, these evil spirits that were allowed to be inside of people temporarily for like probably 40 years, you know, that 40 years. They, of course, knew who Jesus was, and they were crying out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly charged them that they should not make him known. Again, you don't want an evil spirit being your witness, you know. And he went up on a mountain and called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. So basically, he's appointing his 12 apostles. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. And Simon he also named Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. And he named them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. So it's official now. He's officially designated his 12 apostles. And the multitude came together again, so that they could not even eat bread. Jesus and his disciples are just, they're trying to just, you know, eat supper in their house, and they can't because there's just so many people there pushing and shoving, trespassing, it sounds like. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to take hold of him, for they said, "He is beside himself." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem says, "He has Beelzebub, and he casts out demons by the prince of demons." Which is ridiculous. And Jesus is going to point that out. And he called them to himself and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. I mean, this is illogical for you to even accuse me of casting out evil spirits by the power of Satan. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and rob his goods unless he will first bind the strong man, and then he will rob his house. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies with which they blaspheme. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. So what is this blaspheming against the Holy Spirit? We talked about this when we went through Matthew. The only sin that cannot be forgiven of is a sin that is not repented of. And that's what he's talking about here. Because if you refuse to repent of your sins, you are in effect rejecting the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has given us. And so you are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit when you reject it. When you reject God's commands, you sin and you refuse to repent and obey. Then his brothers and his mother came and, standing outside, sent to him, calling him. And the multitude sat around him, and they said to him, Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking for you. And he answered them, saying, Who are my mother or my brothers? And he doesn't mean this literally, like, oh, I can't remember who they are. This is another teaching opportunity. And he looked around at those who sat around him and said, Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. If you believe and obey, you are my family. Pretty simple. And that's chapter 3.